Brilliant. Okay, so the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Your answer might be the kingdom of God is a mystery. The kingdom of God is strange and confusing. Or the kingdom of God is, I don't know. What we do know is the kingdom of God is not an earthly kingdom. It doesn't have land borders, and it doesn't have armies. And Roland, it's definitely not like this. That's a land border between India and Pakistan, if anyone's ever seen that. I wonder whether John Cleese saw them or they saw John Cleese. I can't quite make my mind up. Anyway, the kingdom of God is being described as an upside-down kingdom, hasn't it? Jesus was unconventional. And to a lot of Jewish people, especially the religious people, Jesus' birth, life, and death was different to how they were expecting the promised Messiah to be. They weren't expecting that. They definitely weren't expecting his resurrection. Jesus did things differently, and Jesus' teaching about his kingdom was challenging. It's then, it is then, and it is now. I was listening to a Julian Adams. I don't know whether you know Julian's really good friend, but also a teacher, and he said, Julian Adams says, the kingdom of God is not about posture and position, it's about servanthood and loving. It's not what I have to get, but what I get to give. It's not about my positional truth, but relational connection to Jesus. The invitation of the kingdom is to lay down our rights. That's quite challenging, isn't it? Jesus taught the kingdom of God in parables. Now, these stories weren't random one-off stories. They were rooted in Jewish culture. Jesus used the familiar objects and familiar routines, rituals that the Jewish people would know. And also, they were loaded with imagery. They had real context and real meaning for the people who listened to them. And they weren't like random, they fitted in with Jesus' life and teaching. They talked about kingdom economics and reconciling, relational reconciliation, which Jesus went on to all his life talking about. So they sat really well in Jesus' life and teaching. Jesus demonstrated his kingdom in how he engaged and who he engaged with, and that often got him into trouble. And Jesus demonstrated his kingdom in his mission statement, which I'm just going to read in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight for the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So he proclaimed it in his mission statement. And also he demonstrated his kingdom, that his kingdom was a supernatural kingdom, by the miracles of healing, multiplication, and raising the dead. Today we're going to look at the parable of the yeast in Matthew 13:33. And the aspects of this that I want to draw out, there are many explanations of this parable, but the things that rang true to me and were the most interesting are ones of hiddenness, abundance, and new life of the kingdom, all of those things. So it's a really short passage, but actually I've had to cut loads of this out. There's actually a real lot in it. So the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Concise and short, but deep nonetheless. I feel like the least qualified person to talk about this because I've never used yeast or leaven, or in this case, what it would have been was a sourdough starter. I think Ali should have been doing this talk because she bakes really great bread. But what I do know, it turns that into that, okay? That turns that, that's your lunch. That into that. That's about as much as I know. Let's step back for a moment, though. And isn't it, and just note, I think it's really worth noting that, isn't it amazing that so many stories that Jesus told and so many stories that were told about Jesus involved food? So in the book, Amy Jo Levine says, the Jewish view of the world to come, Olam Haba, I'm sorry if I've mispronounced that, I'm sure I have, the Jewish view of the world to come was of a banquet, and Jesus reflected that in how he spent his time. Eating, feasting, and banqueting seemed to be important to Jesus. Also on Pete Gregg's Lectio 365 recently, Pete commented on how often Jesus, like he had 3 years to do his ministry, got to get it done, and he spent loads of time just hanging out with people, just eating and enjoying their company. He didn't seem to be in a hurry, did he? And yet he accomplished it. And yet how different we do things. And maybe some of that Rich was talking about comes because we try and do it our way instead of Jesus' way. Okay. In this parable, the woman is baking bread. Now, bread was loaded with imagery in Jewish culture, which meant a lot. So immediately, Jesus talked about bread. They would have remembered the when God provided for them in the wilderness every day, except Sabbath days, I think. He gave them fresh manna from heaven. For 40 years in the wilderness, God was their provider. That was entrenched in Jewish stories and who they were, and that would have been meant a lot. But also in her book, Levine also comments like, isn't it interesting that Jesus actually was placed in a manger, a feeding trough, when he was born? Jesus did miracles of multiplication with bread. Jesus broke bread at the Last Supper and said, do this in remembrance of me. And in John's Gospel, I think it's... I lost page two. In John's Gospel, 6:51, Jesus is described as the living bread that came down from heaven. So there's loads of imagery there for us to think about. In some translations, it said the woman mixed the leaven, but the word from the Greek word is the Greek word enkrypto, and actually means hid. So she actually hid the leaven in the flour. And from that word, that Greek word enkrypto, we get cryptology or secret coding or encryption. And this is the only place where this verb is found. But the verb that's derived from that, crypto, is very common and often refers to not only being hidden, but also something that should or must be revealed or uncovered. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be covered. Jesus himself says in Matthew 13:35, as an echo of Psalm 78, I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. There are lots of reference to hiddenness. In Colossians, my life is hid with Christ in God. A lot of the songs that we sing, you know, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Hiddenness is part of how God does things. And I think it's Bill Johnson that says, God doesn't hide things from us. He hides things for us. And sometimes we have to dig, don't we? Sometimes we go through mysteries where we have to dig. We might have to study and pray and seek God on what that is. Sometimes we might not get that answer. Maybe some of you are going through mysteries that you don't have the answer for. But there is a certainty that one day all will be revealed. It will be uncovered. And I was thinking of that scripture in Corinthians 13, verse 12. I now see through a glass dimly, but then face to face. I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So the idea is that we're not hidden from God. God sees us. But sometimes things of the kingdom, the things, his plans and purposes aren't always clear. But they will be. They will be revealed. The most surprising thing to me in about the whole parable is the quantity of flour, 3 measures of flour. Are there any Bible scholars who know exactly how much that is? Well, we don't know actually how much, but we've got parameters. Okay, I shall tell you. It's between 40 and 60 pounds of flour. That is 20 or 30 of these. How much bread was she making? I don't understand that. How was she able to manipulate that much flour? And what was the size of her kneading bowl? I don't know. But to me, that speaks of the abundance of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is an abundant kingdom. One of the first stories of the breakout of the kingdom in Jesus' life, in Jesus' ministry, was the wedding at Cana. And he turned 60 gallons of water into really good wine for no apparent reason other than his mother told him to do. So take note, children. The abundance of God's kingdom. I'm thinking also of the feeding of the 5,000 men, plus women and children. Women and children weren't counted in those days until after the Pentecost. Then we were counted. But before Pentecost, we weren't. So feeding of 5,000 men, women and children, and God and Jesus used 5 loaves and 2 fish. And there were 12 basketfuls left over. What an abundance supply of God that we have. What an abundant God. I just want to turn and look at the story of Abraham. Now, this might seem really like, where does that come from? But in Genesis 18:6, there's a story of Abraham, and he sees three strangers. He thinks they're three strangers far off. So he runs to them and says, "Why don't you come and stay? Like, I will cook a feast for you, and we can hang out." Well, he didn't say that, I don't think, but I just, anyway. And what we do know is that those three people, or strangers, weren't actual strangers. They were, well, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or the Father, God the Father, and angels. So there were definitely a heavenly visitation. And things are never straightforward, aren't they, when there's a heavenly visitor in the room. And Abraham went running up to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour." I don't know how you can make ready quickly 60 pounds of flour, but anyway. And I'm sure, as I would have done, her eyes rolled. Anyway, but that's just me. And make cakes. So that's what they did. Abraham went and killed some animals, and she baked these cakes. Now, the interesting thing, I think, anyway, about this is that in the Hebrew, the word for cakes is translated encrypsias, which is the same root word as the word in the other, as I've just said previously, the parable. And this links the two stories, by also the 3 measures of flour, too. So the flower and the words were similar. And in the ancient world, leaven or yeast was used most frequently as a symbol of incarnation, resurrection, and life itself. It's interesting that at this visit, Abraham would be told that next year, within 1 year, you will have a baby son. Abraham and Sarah were past childbearing age. But God would bring about the miraculous from the unlikely. And it also says that Abraham would be the father of many nations. Abraham is destined to become a great, mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through him. So not only do we have miraculous from unlikely, but we also have abundance. Julian Adams says, "God has called us to be people of the Spirit that would bring in the future of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven." We're just going to watch a video now about what happened somewhere when a group of Christians actually got together and prayed for the kingdom of God to break out. We saw abundance of God blessing that land, and we saw life come. And that's what we went to see here, isn't it? A few weeks ago, Les spoke about being salt and light. It's a good word, Les. Thank you. That's right. And And I think that on the, about being salt and light in the culture and communities, and then that as part of helping to see God's kingdom come. John Stott says, Christian salt has no business to remain in elegant little ecclesiastical salt cellars. Our place is to be rubbed into the meat to stop it going bad. And one final thing before we ask the Holy Spirit to come. Again, Julian Adams, we are called to be incarnational communities that change the world. We are called to be incarnational communities that change the world. So let's just pray and ask Holy Spirit to come. Thank you, God. Yeah. Yeah, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come now. Lord, we just ask you to fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, to bring life, a fresh equipping of your Holy Spirit to bring the things that we need in order to accomplish the vision that you've given us. Lord, I just pray that you would cause faith to arise in us this morning. Lord, that you would cause our vision to be expanded, Lord, to have faith to believe that you could do more than we can imagine. Come, Holy Spirit, come bring refreshing, bring fresh perspective, fresh calling. Lord, help us to gird our loins, as it were, and go once more. Let's go again. Lord, we want to see your kingdom come, that we can bless this town, this neighborhood, the neighborhoods you've called us to be, Eastbourne together and beyond. Yeah, Holy Spirit, just come.